This recording is provided by Times Square Church in New York City. You're welcome to make additional copies for free distribution to friends. All other unauthorized duplication or electronic transmission is a violation of copyright and other applicable laws. This recording cannot be posted on any website. However, written permission to link to the Times Square Church homepage may be requested by emailing info@timesquarechurch.org. Other recordings are available by calling 1-800-488-0854 or by writing to Times Square Church Tape Ministry, 1657 Broadway, New York, New York, 10019.
Turn with me to Psalms 144 this afternoon. The message, I've entitled this message today, Delivered from Strange Children. It's biblical. Now, Father, I thank you that you're so good to us. You love us so incredibly. We won't understand this side of heaven the full extent of this incredible love. We've got scriptures to tell us of it, but we only see in part now. We have the witness of the Holy Spirit within us that you so dearly love us. But Lord, I can hardly wait to see you on the other side. And then faith will be gone and it'll become sight. We'll know it even as we are known. Now this afternoon, Lord, there is something on my heart and I absolutely believe that you have been speaking into my heart for a while on this topic. And I ask you that you would bring to my remembrance those things that you want communicated and let fall to the ground those things that are of myself. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In verses 7 and verse 11, this is where I get the title of the message from in Psalm 144. It says, Send thine hand from above, rid me and deliver me, verse 7. Out of great waters from the hand of strange children. Have you ever been in a situation that suddenly begins to escalate in intensity? You arrive, you just come into a place, a situation, and you're doing just fine. And all of a sudden, things start changing and begin intensifying, and it's out of your control. And you're in the middle of this. You find yourself at the center of a controversy that you didn't start. If you have, or you are right now, then you could be ready for a deliverance from God. There are times that when things intensify, get out of control, when things become so difficult, generally, it's God. Well, the devil is out there. He's doing things and there's people out there doing things. But God uses them and allows them to allow a situation to so intensify because he's after something. And he could never get to that situation of the heart unless he allows the situation to heat up 7 times hotter than it was. We've all been in those circumstances. And it's just like the Lord saying to the disciples, he knew that there was a storm on the horizon, but he says, get into the boat and go to the other side. I'll meet you a little later on. But he knows there's a storm. But he does that and he puts them into the boat and they go to the other side. And on the way, the storm comes. But he is always there to deliver. And that's the hope of the scriptures. That if you find yourself in a very intense time or a very intense moment where things are escalating out of control, the confidence that you need to have today is that God is right there. And if he is indeed touching something in your heart and your life, he's going to be there to deliver you. This is what David is struggling with. David has come to the throne and right in the center, when you read Psalm 144, The center of the psalm is not necessarily the power and the lightning and the deliverance that God is going to do. That's the end result of what God is doing. But the center of this particular psalm, the very crux of it, David says, is simply this. The center of this whole struggle, the heart of the struggle, you've got to know that God is good. You've just got to know that. This is what why David writes this. He wrote something similar in Psalm 8 verse 4. He says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, the son of man that thou visitest him?" Now look at verse 3. He says here, "Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him, or the son of man that thou makest account of him? Man is like to vanity, his days are as a shadow that passeth away." So David is saying, right in the very heart of the psalm, is that even though things may intensify and get out of control, which they are, because David, when he talks here in verse 7, he said, "Deliver me out of great waters," or deep waters. David was in a circumstance that escalated to where he was overwhelmed. He was suddenly in waters over his head. But in the center of the psalm, he wants the reader, or those that sang the psalm, to know that God is always good. And so he says, why do you even consider? He says, when our life is like this shadow, this fleeting shadow that comes and is gone in a moment of time. Sun comes up, casts a shadow, the sun goes down, and he says, life is all over. And yet, David says, in the midst of all of this time, God, you're so good to us. In other words, really, in Psalm 8, verse 4, he says, David says, why are you mindful of us? In other words, you attend to every single issue in our life. That's what he's saying. That's what the original language says. It's that when we're in intensity and it's 7 times hotter than it should be, we don't always think God is good. We're not thinking he's right here with us. But David is saying, no, I want you to know, I've been in the furnace 7 times hotter than it should be. Water's over my head. But God still attends to every single thing in my life. That's what he's saying. He says, God, why do you even consider us? Our life has come and gone so quickly. Why do you even take the time? Our life is a vanity. Most of our life is in the pursuit of things that don't last. We are in the struggle of life that goes on. But yet, God, you're so good to us. You're so mindful. And he says, you visit us. In other words, God devises plans for our life. You've got to know, young people, that God is so good that right at this very moment, he's devising a plan for your life. He knows you. He knows exactly where you should be and what you should be doing in life. And so he devises this plan. God is always at work in our hearts and lives. He's always there. And this is what David, as he goes through the psalm, wants you to understand and know. That when the heat is there, so is God. It's generally in the heat that the rough things come to the surface and he's going to deal with them. Now on the other side of the psalm, so this is the center of it, David also brings out then the other side of the conflict. And he calls this strange children. He calls these conflicts strange children. He's in these deep waters. He's over his head in problems. Things that shouldn't have escalated into anything at all are now overwhelming him. David had come to be king, and the problem that David was facing, as he says here in verse 8, he says, in verse 7, he says, "Deliver me from great waters, the hand of these strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood," verse 8 says. And so David is saying, he said, there's a lot of people that they cause a non-issue to become an issue. It shouldn't be an issue, but suddenly it's there. It's a huge thing, and I'm over my head. He said, these are the people that are round about me, and out of their mouth they're saying, oh, we think that you're a great king. We like you. We think you're awesome. But there's lies in their heart. They don't like him. David recognized this. They're lying. They say they're my friend and they're pleased that I'm now the king, but they're liars. And so it's not talking about the word strange children as a foreigner from another country or an enemy attacking him. He's talking about people in his own kingdom. He says here in verse 2, the last verse, he says that God will subdue my people under me. You see, he's dealing with people that are considered friendly, nice. You're great. We think you're just awesome. And meanwhile, in their heart, it's a sword out to stick him. And there's nothing but lies in the heart. See, David knew this. These were people who gave him lip service, but their heart wasn't near him or close to him. And he has nowhere else to go, but he turns to God. He doesn't know how to deal with this. He doesn't know how to come against these situations, because how do you deal with a liar? How do you deal with those that you've brought into your confidence and all the time they're speaking behind your back? You can't go out and kill them, although you may wish you had. But they are to get you. The New Living Translation says, their mouths are full of lies. They swear to tell the truth. I promise you, I'll always be with you. I'll always tell you the truth. You'll always know where I'm at. It's all lies, the New Living Translation says. You see, these were people that spoke one thing, but deceit was at the root. David fought a physical battle. We fight a spiritual battle. His were people that said they'll be with him, but they were lying. We have a spiritual battle of the mind where the enemy comes and lies. See, beloved, why I wanted the young people to stay is because they are young, they are friends that gather around about you that say they like you. You're great, you're awesome. But they don't mean that. They're just lying. And it's going to take times where God is going to have to deliver us. Sometimes there are situations that are so suddenly deep and intensified that it's going to take the hand of Almighty God to bring about a deliverance. That's what David is praying. He says, God, there are situations that only you can deliver me from. I know that there are young men, suitors of some of you young ladies. Oh, you're so great. So awesome. No, I just love Jesus with all my heart. I'd like to get to know you a whole lot better. I just think you're so awesome. I'll never hurt you. And yet there's so many lies in the heart. You know what my simple suggestion is? You don't need to go to a 10-step program to deal with liars. Let me tell you this afternoon, a simple thing to do is, you young ladies and young men, what you need to do is you need to, from the Living Bible, go to 1 Corinthians 13 and write it out and put that in your purse or your wallet. So when you're sitting in a restaurant and you hear this gush of, you're awesome and you're great, and you just got to say, excuse me, and you just got to go around the corner, get this out. And you've got to test this, whether this guy's a liar or he's telling the truth. And all you need is 1 Corinthians 13. And you ask yourself, is he patient? Is he in a rush? Is he kind? Is he gentle? Does he demand his own way? If he is, he's a liar. I want to hold your hand. And if there's this push, it's the simplest way that you can discern between that which is truth and that which is not truth. And it's always a battle. David fought these people that were round about. But we have a battle of the mind where the devil doesn't stop the barrage of lies that come against us. We heard that this morning, and I leant over to Pastor Patrick and I said, it's exactly what I'm saying this afternoon. The devil never ceases to lie. He's always coming up with lies. It's a constant battle of lies. And unfortunately, they come through people and they come through situations and circumstances. And all the time, there is the devil with these suggestive lies. You're no good. You're a horrible wife. You're a lousy husband. You're a rebellious teenager. David says, they're nothing more than strange children. Have you ever come across people who you bring into your company and they say all the right words, but you feel strange? That's what David's talking about. You'll know it in the spirit. You'll be around them. They think, well, this is, they're saying all the nice things to you and it's, everything seems so good, but there's something really weird. Let me tell you, that's the Holy Ghost. Because those situations will tend to intensify. But you can always trust the Holy Ghost in your heart. You can always trust that God is speaking to you. Trust it. Just go around the corner. Get out your 1 Corinthians 13 and read it. Judge the individual on that. Doesn't mean the person has to be perfect, but you can at least know the general idea by 1 Corinthians 13. It's so simple, beloved. And the Holy Ghost will bear witness. And thank God for cell phones. Call your friend up and say, call me in 2 minutes. And I'm out of here. Thank God for cell phones. Not in church, though. But I do thank the Lord for that. That can be a tremendous help to you. We see that David, he cries out and he says, Lord, teach me how to fight. In verse 1, he says, blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. It's a battle for your soul. The devil is out for your soul. The devil is out to destroy your mind, your life, your reputation. Young people, listen to me. The devil is out to destroy you. So many things. David says, Lord, teach me how to fight against these lies that come against my life. They did a survey, high schools right across the nation. And in this particular survey, they asked young girls what was the number one fear of their life. And the number one fear is not AIDS. The number one fear that most young girls have is getting pregnant. And yet, they don't tell you that the lie of the enemy, that in the 1950s, there was something like 5 diseases transmitted in relationships outside of marriage. Today there are over 30 diseases. And most of those, there is no known cure. And they don't tell you that. That's why when you come to the Word of God has every single answer that you need in life. God wants to protect you and preserve your life. There might be a situation that God's allowing you to get into to allow it to get 7 times hotter because He knows that in these circumstances He can reach in and touch that area that He wants to deal with in your heart and life. Not because He doesn't love you. That's what David is saying. David is in the furnace. He's over his head with waters. It's 7 times hotter. But he says right at the very crux of this psalm, God is good. God's good to us. I don't understand why you like us so much, God. I don't care. I don't know. Understand why you care so much about us. David attributes this time to God that he's dealing with him in his heart. You know, when you deal with this aspect of rebellious children or strange children, when you take a look at it, the Bible is very clear on how they dealt with a rebellious son in the Old Testament. It was very clear. It was radical. It was tough, especially if you were rebellious. Don't turn to it. Let me just talk you through it. You can read it at your leisure. In Deuteronomy 21, 18 through 21, you can just write that down and you can go back to it in your leisure. But it was the way they dealt with it. And this was what was given to them as how to keep the land clear of rebellion. If you've done everything that you can and there's nothing else to do with your child, if he remained incorrigible, rebellious, contentious, and you've done everything possible as parents, you know, beloved, there's no guarantee that children are just going to be raised right. You can do everything and they go off. You can do every single thing that you like, and you've done, you've read, you've prayed, you've walked with them, and we trust that God will bring them back again to himself. But there was a method that they, that was given to them in the Old Testament to deal with this when a son was incorrigible, rebellious. The parents could come to the point where, when there was no more hope, they would take him to the elders at the city gate. And they would present their case. They'd plead their case to these men who, it was like a judge, I guess. These were men who would hold things in the balance and would deal with these. And if there was no change in his attitude or no change in his character or there was no hope of change, then it was very clear that the men, all the men of that city, were to take that boy outside the city and were to stone him to death. They sure kept rebellion down. You could walk out of a city and there you'd see a heap of stones and you would know that was Joshua or Bob or Mike. And there'd be these heaps of stones, and it was a reminder to all of Israel that God would deal with these issues. That God was serious about touching these kinds of issues. And he said fear, the fear of God would come into that place and people would fear God knowing that this would be the end result. That if rebellion continued, that God had a method of dealing with it. It was radical. They stoned the kid to death. And so, as like I say, there'd be these heaps of stones outside of the city and you'd have this memory that this was how they dealt with rebellion. Now, thank God that's not how we deal with it today. That God has the power of the Holy Spirit that He can work in the hearts and lives of people and our young people today. That's why I love these rallies that we're having at the end of the month, every single month where these young people come in. And it's just glorious. I love it because the Holy Ghost shows up and reaches right into the heart of these young people. You see them getting saved and touched by the power of Almighty God. So many parents today have been stripped of their authority. It's a sad day when the state can come into your house and take your kids away. It's even a worse and a sadder state when we have children suing parents. Now listen, I understand that there's a lot of abuse out there, and so I think there's got to be a balance, because I hate violence of any kind, of any nature, and especially a parent against a child. But it's got out of hand. And we see that we're living in a day today where it's so rampant, rebellion is rampant. Well, is there an answer? Yes, there is an answer. God has an answer for our young people. God has an answer for us today. No one was guaranteed that they couldn't have a son or a daughter that would grow up in rebellion. But And again, David was dealing with people who were round about him who would say, I was with you and were lying. And but we deal with, and there are those situations with us today. And as I say, you can deal with it through 1 Corinthians 13, and there's other means that you can deal with. But I want to ask you a question. David prayed in this psalm, and he said, Lord, I want you to teach me how to war against these strange children. These things that rise up and want to do me harm. And he says, and it says here in verse 10, he said, it is he that giveth salvation unto kings and delivereth David, his servant, from the hurtful sword. And so David knew that these strange children, the ultimate end is that they wanted to stick him with the sword. But I've got a question I want to ask you. And this is the heart of my message where I want to spend some time this afternoon speaking to you. I want to ask you a question. My question is simply this. Are you raising a rebellious child or a strange child today? Well, no, I'm not married. Well, I'm talking about a physical child. But I want to ask you, have you given birth to anything in your heart that is unlike Christ? Have you given birth to something in your heart and life that you're feeding and nurturing? This thing is growing up inside of you, beloved. The question is not, they dealt with it in the Old Testament by stoning. You could take a physical child and say, this child is incorrigible. And there was an answer. And they dealt with that child. And if he was no change, they were stoned. But how do we deal if there's something that we've allowed to be birthed in the heart? And you know it's birthed there. And you've nursed it. You feed it. And this strange child is growing in your heart. Day in, day out. I want to tell you, beloved, that one of these days, the end result of that which is growing in the heart is to stick you with a sword. It'll destroy your life. Ultimately, it's going to destroy you. Have you given birth to anger? Just that explosive anger that just rises up and it just, something just causes you, but you know it's there. And then you begin to resort to that to handle your situations. How many handle a situation instead of doing it God's way? We've allowed this strange child that David says, God, deliver me. Teach me how to fight against these things. How many have allowed anger to almost become full grown, where the only way that you know how to deal with conflict in a home? Do you know how many? I got a letter the other day from a couple that we've been relating to, and it just began in a simple means. They began to speak bad to one another. But it began to escalate. They gave rise. There's a birth to something in the heart. And eventually, out of frustration, it wasn't such a great thing, but he just took her arm and just gave it a twist. Oh, he repented. Honey, I'm so sorry. It'll never happen again. But when you give birth to these things, no matter how much discipline you apply, you see, this is why the Old Testament scripture is our example. It didn't matter how much discipline the parents tried and worked and worked with the child. In the end, the only way and the only means with which to deal with an incorrigible child was to stone it, put it to death. Some of you are trying through as much discipline as you can to keep this anger in control. Well, it started with a twisting of an arm until that cyclical moment came around again. And no longer was it just a twisting. Now it was a shoving, then a punching, until it was full-blown abuse in the relationship. You see, beloved, It's out to kill you. What about, if that's anger, what about bitterness? What about that bitterness that's out to defile both you and every other person that comes inside? Comes into your environment. Is this a strange child that is growing on the inside? You see, it's one thing to deal with somebody on the outside and have 1 Corinthians 13 and make your judgment with them, but it's another thing to have envy or jealousy. How many of you people have allowed the enemy to sow jealousy in your heart? Happens so quickly. Suddenly the birth of this begins to rise up. Ad infinitum on issues of the heart that can grow. Lust, envy, jealousy, bitterness, anger, pride, unbelief. Growing up in the heart. I'm going to ask you a question today. Are you raising a strange child? Is it there? Let me give you an example. Let me talk you through, and then I'll bring you into the end of this. But let me give you an example. And I don't want you to turn to the scripture, because I just want to keep talking to you. Peter, somewhere along the line, allowed fear into his heart. This is a great apostle, a mighty man of God. He's been used of the Lord, but we know the story well, that when the pressure came upon him and Jesus was taken into custody, we know that he, out of fear, he fled. The three denials that he makes concerning Christ, just talking on one issue, the three denials that he makes, what he proclaims concerning Christ, are all based in this abject fear, this phobia. Deep down inside, he can't face the reality. There's something that's got a grip of his heart. You don't see anything after this time, and the Holy Spirit comes, and they all get filled, and Peter's up there, and he's preaching, and 3,000 get saved, and God is using him mightily at different places. With Cornelius, God is using him, blind people, lame people, there's miracles happening. You think, this guy's doing great. But unbeknown to the casual observer on the outside, everything's going good, but God is with him. But to the casual observer, everything seems fine. But I'm telling you, in his heart, there's a strange child. It's never been dealt with. Never been dealt with. But this is why David writes in Psalm 144, he says, God is so good. Why are you so mindful of us? I don't understand why you're so good. It's beyond comprehension that as vile as I am and as all the things that are inside my heart, you still visit us. Make plans for us. You attend to every single one of our needs, David says. So here's Peter. God puts, I believe it's totally God. God puts in his heart and says, somewhere along the line, he must have had this notion because of all what was going on in Antioch of Syria, just north of Jerusalem, some distance up, I don't know how many, couple hundred miles or how far it is. I'm not sure how far Antioch in Syria is from Jerusalem. But Peter decides he's going to go to Antioch in Syria and see how the church is doing, because the news of what God is doing is just awesome. And so he goes up there and he's visiting with everybody. They're having these love feasts where they come and eat together and fellowship. Everything seems innocuous enough. Nothing's changing. He's fellowshipping with all of these people. Who knows? You see, this is why I said to you in the beginning, have you ever been in a circumstance that suddenly becomes out of control? Suddenly begins to expand and explode, and you're kind of like out of control of this thing. Well, this is what happens with Peter. But God is at the center of all of this. It's God who's at work. He's allowing this. Suddenly we have people come from Jerusalem that are of the circumcision. Peter's sitting with Gentiles, having a great time, just fellowshipping away. But see, God is after something in him. Oh, God's going to deal with making sure that works don't get into the good doctrine of faith. God's going to deal with it on that level. That's another message at another time. But I'm more interested in the situation that begins to intensify 7 times harder. He's been eating. He's been fellowshipping. I don't know how long he's been in Antioch. But he's having a great time. Barnabas is there. Paul is there. Others are there. They're fellowshipping together. And then all of a sudden, one day, things begin to change. He looks up and he has people coming from Jerusalem of the circumcision. And you see, in his heart, this strange child of fear. When you read Galatians, Galatians says that he feared. And when I looked up that word fear, it means to be panic-stricken in such a measure that everything inside you causes you to run instead of face the truth. It's not just a little afraidy cat of a little something. This now has become a full-blown phobia in Peter's heart. He doesn't deal with the situation. But it's God. And this is my message this afternoon, that God wants to reach this. This would disqualify this man at some point or another. It's going to disqualify him. But God is so concerned and loves this man, Peter. He attends to him. This is God. He allows the situation to get this hot so that he can put his finger right on this phobia in Peter's life. Let me read a scripture to you real quick, just so that you see the end result of what Peter says. And let me just read a couple of things to you here. Listen to what Peter says. And you can understand that God touches him and deals with him. I believe that Peter had a deliverance that day. God exposed this tremendous fear in his heart because God is good. And in 1 Peter, the 2 Peter chapter 1, it says, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby given unto us are exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. God does not want this man disqualified. God wants this man to continue to be blessed and to be a partaker of the divine nature, having escaped corruption that is in the world. In chapter 2, Peter writes, "The Lord." I just wondered when I was reading this the other day, I just wondered whether Peter didn't have this time in mind where he writes and he says, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations." God knows how. God knows how. You might be in the heat of it. You might be out with your 1 Corinthians 13, but you don't have a cell phone. You can't get out of the situation. God knows how. God knows how. God, teach my hands to war. You see, God can smite the situation down in a moment of time. That's why in Psalm 144, I'm going to close. Go back to Psalm 144. David says this in verse 1. He says, "Blessed be the Lord my strength. Actually, the original, and in most of your margins, you'll have a little index there that'll give you the actual word. It says, David actually says here, blessed be the Lord, my rock. You see, God is going to stone that thing to death. To deal with a rebellious child, they took them out of the city and stoned them. I want to tell you that there is this Daniel sword. He saw this rock coming out of heaven and hit that image and bust it to pieces. David, I'm sure when he says, teach my fingers to war, he's not thinking, how do I manipulate people out of my life and get things right? I don't think he's saying that at all. I think he's remembering Goliath. I think he's remembering God. It was that little stone that you guided, that little missile that was nothing more than a pebble in a slingshot. But it was God. God knows how to deliver you. Even if this thing in your heart, even if lust has overwhelmed you, anger has controlled your marriage and your relationship, bitterness is just absolutely consuming you on the inside. I want to say this to you today. God knows how to deliver you. David says it. He says, blessed is the Lord my rock. I think that he's seeing God the rock. Jesus says, if you fall on this stone, you'll be broken to pieces. But there's a promise. But if the stone falls on that person, it'll grind it to powder. He is the stone that the builders rejected. He is the only one that can take the situation. I believe with all of my heart that God can take any given situation today and grind it to powder in your life, and it be a non-issue with you miraculously, supernaturally, powerfully, by the Spirit of God. They put rebellious children to death by stoning them. The stone that followed them in the wilderness is still the rock that will deal with every issue. And David said, I think that what his prayer was, teach my hands to fight, was God, show me how to lay hold of you in a time of need. Because the Bible goes on to say in verse 9, I will sing a new song unto thee, O God. Upon a psaltery and upon an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. When I got to that verse in my studies, it was just last night. I had so much joy because I saw this rock that David could see that he was going to destroy all of his enemies. God would destroy every one of his enemies and put a new song. Song of healing, a song of deliverance, a song of praise, a song of being set free. There's a new song in my heart. Yes, I came bound. Yes, I came with anger. Yes, I came with bitterness. Yes, I came with a struggle in my heart. But today I leave with a new song because there's a rock out of heaven that has smashed my enemies to pieces. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I said, oh God, I'd love to sing a song. I'd love, give me a song. I wrote this song down, and the musicians are so good, they fixed the music to it. This afternoon, I asked you a question. Do you have a strange child growing in your heart? Have you allowed the birth of something, or you're in a relationship, and God is putting His finger on it? And He wants to set you free once and for all. It's not going to take 10 steps. But like David said, God will give you the victory. One pebble and the giant comes down. God knows how He's going to set you free. He knows. He's good. And He will do it. This afternoon, you need to take the step of faith. In the Old Testament, they took the son, they went to the city gate, and they assessed the situation, and then they put the person to death. In this place, We have what we call in the front here, we call this an altar. It's not an altar of any thought of sacrifice. We just call it the front of the church an altar. But it's where you come. You come. And it's not to elders, it's to Jesus. And you bring. You bring. I'm not going to ask you, put your hand up if it's anger or bitterness or resentment. I'm not going to do that. God has put His finger on the issue. He knows how to deliver you. You are in hot circumstances, but God is good. He will give you deliverance. You bring it to the altar. And this afternoon, let the rock of ages pile over that problem. Walk away knowing at this altar there's a pile of stones. And under that stone is your problem. And you'll leave with a new song. Shall we stand? Psalm 144 and Psalm 145 actually go together. They say that Psalm 145 is the song, the new song that David sang. You can still come down while I'm speaking to you. And it's the new song, and David begins this, and if it is, he says, "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and great and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all." Amen. Say all.
All.
The Lord is good to all. None of you exempt this afternoon. Not one of you exempt. And God is going to... Christ is the rock. You've got to just understand, Christ is the rock. He will come and He will smash that image that the enemy has risen up in your heart to pieces. Do you believe that this afternoon?
Thank you, Lord.
It can't be any more harder than that, because then it's religion. Then it's something of works. Then it's a 10-step program. And then it's a whole conflagration of things. But I want to say to you today, if it's anger and it's out of control and God's put His finger on it, He's going to set you free. If it's lust, if it's bitterness, if it's whatever you're here today with, God will powerfully, He's good to all, set you free. Amen? Raise your hands and pray with me then this afternoon. Lord Jesus, I've allowed this strange child to grow in my heart. Lord, as David said, the end of this is to stick me with a sword. To destroy my life, my marriage, my home, my relationship, my character, my reputation. But I've had enough. Lord, this day, this strange child no longer will reside in my house, in my being. I ask you to put to death powerfully, instantly, by the power of your word and your Holy Spirit, this issue of my heart in Jesus' name. I believe it. I lay hold of you. You know how to deliver. And I lay hold of God. You are my deliverance. In Jesus' name. Now let me pray for you. Father, I thank you today. Very quietly, very powerfully, you are setting us free. Lord, you're just taking your people because you are so good. And you're bringing about a deliverance that they could not do in their own strength. But you're doing it right now by the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we lay hold of you today. You are our strong tower. You are our refuge. You are our shield. And in you, I put my trust. In Jesus' name. Now give him thanks, beloved. Give him thanks. Hallelujah.
This is the conclusion of the message.